The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Building Supplies, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Radio 96.9 FL. Monday, what is it today? Wednesday afternoon? Is it Wednesday, Tuesday? Wednesday? Wednesday afternoon. On this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Blame it on travel. Blame it on travel. So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call today at all, the numbers are on Wednesday. Welcome back. Yeah, it is Wednesday. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. You can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 43043. You can catch us on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Y'all miss me, eh? Huh? Y'all miss me a little bit? I want to thank Brother Hubert Edwards, always reliably capable of sitting in. I'm asked when I ask him to do so, and I want to thank him really for being available, because some of these, I can't avoid it. And so, you know, it's good to be able to have people like himself and Carlos Markey who can sit in and help me out that way. And I am grateful to him and I thank him for it. Say you miss me plenty. Someone say, hell yeah. Not living too good at all, man. What happened is, honestly, it's been rough, the stuff trying to keep up, right? And so sometimes it does, what day it is doesn't even matter. What matters is get the stuff done. And so I'm glad. I know it's Wednesday though. Okay, so much to talk about. You know, the chances are we won't be able to do all of it today, but then we thank God if he spares life, we have tomorrow. Well, we don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow, we have a special program for you tomorrow. Actually, really special program. You know, the marital rape issue? Yeah, yeah. The marital rape issue. Guess what? The University of the Bahamas is partnering with others to host a forum on this tomorrow night. Okay? But tomorrow day, there is a student debate on marital rape. A student debate. And guess what? It's going to be hosted live on Z Live. Marital rape. Huh? Isn't that something? So you can stay tuned for that and make yourself available to the forum. Tomorrow I'll give some more information about the forum later on. Say just stay rested and healthy. I'm doing my very best. That's for sure. I'm doing my best to stay rested and healthy. I'm actually right now not resting. I ain't gonna lie to you. Say good day, Shivago. Welcome back. You missed. Thank you. I appreciate it. Say, Mr. Lang, how come you was missing? I introduced someone, you was not on the I'm sorry, man, but sometimes you got things you got to do and you can't do the show, right? Just not possible. It's just physically not possible to do it. And I don't want to, you know.
This is the Guardian News Network.
So a number of things to talk about. Clearly, you are aware that the former Minister of Health, I mean of Youth, Sports and Culture, and her husband and others have been charged with fraud. We cannot, I don't know much more than that is reported about the matter. Some 14 counts of bribery and 14 counts of conspiracy to commit fraud by false pretenses. The allegation concerning contracts valued at about $712,000 is what is being reported. And this is surrounding contracts related to the Grand Bahama Sports Complex, South Beach Pools, and Kendall Isaacs Gymnasium is what is being reported. So again, what I know reported, as I have read it in The Guardian, you know, when you get charged before the courts, doesn't mean that you're guilty. It just means that the police and the prosecutors have sufficient, they believe, evidence to charge you before the courts. And so it is then for the court to determine the extent of a person's guilt based on the evidence supplied. And all I will say is, when under the previous administration, board, I did not believe that we would not go down this road again, as I don't believe we will ever not go down this road again. Now, you know, no one is above the law. No prime minister, no deputy prime minister, no cabinet minister, no member of parliament, no judge. No one is above the law. So if the law is breached and the police and others have evidence to support that breach, then you would expect that the law will pursue its course. That's what you would expect. I remember and recall saying that let's put it like this. Prosecutions involving political figures always bring an added set of scrutiny. Okay? There's no question about that. It brings an added set of scrutiny, an added set of in which your entire system, it's not just the person, but the entire system gets to be held up against the light. And so it's watched with a certain carefulness to see the extent to which all probity and propriety is exercised in the course thereof. Boy, what a road we go down, right? I'm not suggesting it's not a road to go down, but it is in fact a sensitive road. But, you know, the lessons in it all is all around for all who participate to participate with careful hands. Even your hands being careful could be misconstrued in a way, but and nonetheless, the only thing you can do is do your best to operate with careful hands so that even up, you can say with confidence, it is not so. Even if convicted, don't tell me no innocent people don't get convicted. Look at many people they let out of prison these days because now the evidence shows otherwise. Right? Look at it. There's a movie now about Emmett Till, where now two people got off for the murder, who confessed to the murder to the Times and got paid $4,000 for it after the murder because they couldn't be charged anymore because of double jeopardy. So not only can innocent people be guilty people cannot be convicted. But the only thing you could do is make sure you could say, convicted or not, it ain't so, no problem. And in the end, my vindicator may have to be Almighty God himself. But that's the best thing. So that's one of the lessons. Your lesson is to our nation is to put in place, to the extent possible, the mechanisms, the provisions, and the like to ensure that we can at least discourage things that can happen to jeopardize the public good, public purse, the public service, right? You cannot, even in your best efforts, stop a soul from doing a thing, but you do your best to prevent what you can, okay? So if the system says, I discovered X, Y, and Z, then the system should move to strengthen the mechanisms to ensure that X, Y, and Z isn't impossible to do, but just much harder to do, because maybe it's not impossible. It's not possible to make the thing impossible, right? But I will never, as I did not, gloat about, be celebratory about the charging and or conviction of any sort, because it's a hard thing for them, it's a hard thing for us, it's a hard thing for the nation, and it's better for us to never have to go down this road than to have to go down this road. But there it is. So, Mala Dukeran is an economist in the region who is certainly highly regarded in some circles. And Miss Dukeran, is this? I'm not sure what her status is. But she made some comments recently. She appeared at RF's Outlook, Economic Outlook. And I wasn't there. So I have spoken to others who were there. And I have read a reporting about it by Chester Robarts in the Nassau Guardian. And here's what it says. It says, noted Caribbean economist Mala Dukeran continues to tout the value of the Bahamas entering a debt restructuring program through the International Monetary Fund and employing the services of other multilateral organizations like the World Bank, Caribbean Development Bank, and Inter-American Development Bank to get the country's debt under control. It says, Dukeran, who made the remarks while speaking at yesterday's RF Economic Outlook, has suggested this posture for the country on several occasions, even predicting that the country would enter a debt restructuring program in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, which I might note, did not happen. So our prediction did not come true, right? So according to The Economist, this country has to retool its finances after suffering the two extreme economic shocks of Hurricane Dorian and COVID-19. She says, and I quote, the Bahamas needs a significant reform agenda, said Dukeran. It is my humble opinion that if the Bahamas were to call on the IMF, the World Bank, the IDB, and the CDB, and other development partners, engage in a debt restructure exercise, because remember, you're facing a double whammy that nobody else has had to deal with in this region, with Dorian and with the pandemic. Engage in a meaningful debt restructure exercise and embark on a sweeping socioeconomic green reform agenda. And that way, the Bahamas, I think, is well poised to become the Caribbean's next success story, just as Jamaica has done. She goes on to say, arguably, the Bahamas is starting from a much better position than Jamaica did in 2012, or Barbados did in 2018. The debt to GDP was 147% in Jamaica's case, and somewhere close to that as well in Barbados. She also indicated that there is this misconception, because politicians all over the region love to demonize the IMF and say, well, if the IMF comes in, they're going to make us lay off half the public sector workforce. They're going to make us cut wages. They're going to make us do X, Y, and Z, she said. And these are all draconian measures that we don't want to do because it's going to impoverish our people. She said, actually, that's not how it works. You know, they tell you what are the targets you need to reach for your fiscal balance, et cetera. And you need to figure out what are the policy measures that work best for you. That's another. So she is essentially saying that the Bahamas needs to go on an IMF program. Now, let's look at this issue, and let's look at this issue soberly, okay? Let's not immediately just react. Let's look at it with some sobriety. So we're gonna take a break because I see some people texting about the other matter. And we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z-Line. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
What risks do inflation, soaring energy prices, and global tensions pose to the Caribbean? Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers at the 9th annual RF Economic Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com. RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Again, so glad you could join us. Man, some of y'all ain't right, you know. Some of this text is, Shivago, whatever you are having, I need some of that. You think I have something? I promise you, I didn't have anything, man. I didn't have anything except a lot of work. A lot of work. I did have that. And maybe that's what you are. If you want some of that, yeah, you can have some of that. This text says, Brother Lang, under what circumstances can a minister approve $700,000 of contracts? None that I know of. None whatsoever. But who knows? None that I know of. It says, hooray, we'll definitely tune in to hear the perspectives of our young population, wishing you speedy and complete recovery. I'm not recovering from anything. I'm not sick, you know, at all. I mean, I'm just saying I was tired. If you mean recover from tiredness, yes. Thank you. Appreciate it. So let's look at Ms. Dukaran's comments. All right. Firstly, let me agree with Ms. Dukaran that the fear and vilification of the International Monetary Fund and other multilateral organizations is entirely unwarranted. Knowledgeable people do not view these organizations that way, not knowledgeable people. If you are somebody who wants to exploit people's ignorance, if you are somebody who does not know, if you are somebody who's just trying to create some new nuisance about it, then that's fine. But knowledgeable people do not fear-monger about the IMF, going on an IMF program. That's nonsense. Nonsense. It's real. You will not find more nationalistic populations than a Jamaica, than a Barbados. They're nationalistic organizations. Greece, nationalistic people. But they've all been on IMF programs. Why? Not because the IMF swooped in and told them, you have to go on a program and we're going to make you do this. And that's nonsense. Seriously, if you want to live in the 60s, 50s and them about the IMF, that's fine. I can't stop you from doing that. But if you want to live in the modern world, about an IMF, about a World Bank and that, I don't share your dark ruminations about the IMF. Firstly, the IMF, like the World Bank and the IDB and those, are organizations that are owned by the nations that are their members, okay? There's no IMF without countries. Countries are the owners of the IMF, and their subscriptions are what funds the IMF. And it was charged by countries. It was created by countries to protect the stability of the international financial system. So that's why they monitor countries' financial circumstances, because they know that countries that have failed financial systems can be a contagion on the rest of the world, and that can bring the entire system into collapse. So they have a role to play, a very important role, much like our central bank has a role to play, and these securities commissioners, they're not regulatory as the central bank and the securities commissioner, but they are there to play a role in the entire system, in this instance with the IMF, the global system. So if the Bahamas had to go on an IMF program, I would not be horrified. What it would signal to me is that our fiscal situation had become sufficiently dire, though, that it was required. So it wouldn't be coming on an IMF program that would concern me. It would be the fact that we have to do so that would concern me. You understand the difference? Okay, let me say it this way. If we ended up on an IMF program, I would be happy for the country, because it would mean that a means that exists to help us through a very difficult time would be available to us. So I wouldn't be afraid and concerned about the IMF. I would be concerned that we had to do it to begin with. That's what would be the real concern for me. I would be grateful that the countries of the world created a mechanism for bailing out a country when it has come into problems like that. Now, guess what? When you get on an IMF program, it's not the IMF that caused you to go on the program, you know, because up to that point, you've been running your own show. It was the IMF that caused your debt to GDP ratio to go to 140, 150, 160, 180%. It wasn't the IMF that caused you to be unable to make your debt payments. It would have been your own responsibilities, your own control and management of your affairs that caused that to happen. It is now the IMF that is saying, I can help you. We can help you reorganize your affairs in a way that can relieve some of this dangerous pressure on your fiscal situation. That's what the IMF is there for. They can't force you to go on a program. They can't make you go on a program. They don't have an army to make you go on a program. They can't do anything to you. They will just watch you continue to do what you have been doing. And if it's failing, continue to fail. They would be unhappy about it, but they can't do anything to make you go on a program. I hope that you are understanding it. So I agree with Marla that there is a dark understanding and false notions put out there about the IMF. Now, the IMF and others have learned over the years to do what they do better, just like because the IMF is run by people. They're run by experts, but experts come to learn that even their expertise has limits. And they also come to learn that things that they thought before didn't work. And so they have to go and change their mind. If you have an expert who doesn't learn over time, don't use them. Do you hear me? If you have an expert who believes the same things they believe all the while for 30, 50, 60, 70 years and didn't come to any upgraded understanding of things, don't use them. You could ask any surgeon, any doctor, any accountant, any lawyer, et cetera. They all know and understand professional upgrading is important because knowledge changes, knowledge develops, knowledge improves. And so is the IMF and the World Bank and those. So where they made mistakes early in their advice and in their approaches, they have learned from those things. Why? Because the countries that are the owners of them have indicated to them where their things have not worked. So I'm not concerned about the Bahamas going on an IMF program at all. I'm concerned if the Bahamas has to go on one. So this text says, please rephrase your first sentence. Z. Sean Lang would not be happy to see his nation in the hands of the IMF. I heard the explanation, et cetera, but please, no, I won't reword my sentence. I will not. Why would I do that? Because I said nothing wrong. I said nothing I did not believe. I said that I would not be unhappy about, horrified about, if the Bahamas ended up in an IMF program. I said I would be unhappy about and concerned about it needing to do that. Okay, and that's exactly what I meant. Nothing to correct. Okay, I don't run around telling people what to say if what they're saying is what they want to say and what they truly believe. And I said what I truly believe. I didn't make a mistake. I wasn't trying to say anything other than what I said. Why am I saying it? Because the IMF is not a boogeyman. It is not a horror show. That would be like saying, what you're asking me to do would be like saying, I would not be unhappy if my sick mother ended up in a hospital where they could care for her. Why be unhappy about the hospital? I'm happy that the hospital exists. I'm unhappy that she had to go to the hospital. That's different. Because I'm trying to teach people something here, which is the IMF is not a thing to be afraid of. It's absolute nonsense to be afraid of the IMF, to be afraid of having to go there. That's something because of the circumstance you're in. That's a different story. Okay, so the IMF is an institution like the World Bank that exists to support and help maintain financial global stability. So I agree with Marla Dukaran in that regard. Where I have my departure with her is like what it is that is driving her to believe that the country needs to go on the program. That's what I may have a departure with her. Now, I don't have a full statement from her, so I'm not entirely sure what she is looking at. But I'm not sure myself, because now, let me say this. Our fiscal situation is problematic. Okay? It is problematic. We have a strenuous government financial situation. That is true. Our debt situation, I think, is a heavy burden on us for sure. Right? And I do believe that if left unchecked, will land us in a really bad way. I really believe that. Unchecked by what? Unchecked by this fact. While our revenues are showing strong performance, our spending is showing the same kind of performance. So we are not making up any fiscal ground, or not as much as we could make up, because we whatever capacity we get from our revenue improvements, we are using up by our spending. And that's bound to either leave you in the same spot or to cause you fall further behind. That's just the reality of it. And so if we do not course correct so that we create more and more fiscal space, then of course we are going to land in a place where the debt burden might be so significant that even lenders might strain to lend us and what have you. And there is some degree to which we are nearing that point for sure. But wherever we are, these things have not happened yet. We have made no voluntary adjustments in our financial situation. None. We have made no choices about improving our own financial situations in terms of less spending, maybe even additional other than the VAT and restructuring of our tax base. And where we have, what we've done is all the gains that we have had from the revenue, we've eaten up. I mean, you know, maybe we had no choice when it came to Dorian and the pandemic. But the truth is, before the pandemic and Dorian, we did not take advantage of that either. Let me give an example. VAT was introduced in the Bahamas in 2015. Okay, VAT was introduced in 2015. And we gained an additional $400 to $500 million in revenue for the government that it did not have before. $400 to $500 million. I want you all to think about that. $400 to $500 million new dollars every year was pouring into the government of the Bahamas by virtue of the introduction of VAT. And that notwithstanding, by 2019, this is prior to the pandemic, prior to the pandemic, our deficit situation was improved, but certainly wasn't improved to the extent of that increase or near the extent of that increased revenue. So In 2014, 2015, the government revenue, listen to this, folks, listen to this. The government, I can tell you when we come back from the break. Let's take the break and I can tell you so we don't have to interrupt that that explanation when we come back from the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
In 1973, the Bahamas gained its independence and CBS Bahamas opened its doors. From humble beginnings, CBS Bahamas is now the nation's top supplier and installer of architectural building products, the country's largest home improvement retailer, and offers the most extensive online shopping platform in the Bahamas. That's a lot to celebrate. We're 50 and fabulous. Visit us today at CBS Bahamas, CBS Pro Store, or cbsbahamas.com.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 50th Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-64. Fidelity, we're good for
you. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or you can call us on 325-4316, 325-4316, or you can call us on 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We're talking about some comments made by Mala Dukaran, economist in the region, who was urging know, so we're trying to get at why she thinks that. I think her argument is, and she says that if you look at Jamaica and Barbados, in particular Jamaica, that Jamaica did in fact do much better. Their economy is one of the best in the region. There's no question since going on that program. So there's no question that Jamaica benefited from going on that program. Barbados, I think, is marginally better, but certainly Jamaica has been a standout story in that regard. So she makes that argument. And what she's saying, well, rather than wait until you get as far gone as where Jamaica and Barbados were, why don't you do it earlier? Because her thinking is that if you get the IMF and the IDB and the CDB and those to come together and to restructure your debt, that means that essentially they may provide you with replacement for the current holders of your debt, some of them at least. And by that, you could stretch out the payments, maybe lower those payments and reduce your interest rates, so save on some of those interest payments because you could get developmental loan concessionary rates and so forth and so forth. Again, that's what the IMF would do, right? They would lend you, so you have $11 billion worth of debt. The IMF ain't gonna lend you $11 billion, right? They may lend you five, may lend you two, three, whatever the program is. And they would put you on that program, reorder, restructure some of that debt, and put you in a better situation in terms of debt servicing, and so that some of these lump sum payments that have to come up, you don't have to look for renegotiating and then renegotiating on terms that are onerous for you because you're really not in a good situation to negotiate otherwise. So there is clearly that opportunity and advantage to doing so, right, on an IMF program. The challenge I have is that we have not done things ourselves to help our own fiscal situation to the extent we could. Let me give you an example. Prior to 2015, the Bahamas had no VAT. Y'all realize that, right? There was no VAT in the Bahamas. And the government's revenue then was about $1,728 million. That's what the government's revenue was, right? About that. Now, when VAT was introduced, the government's revenue went up to, by 2018-19 budget, to $2.65 billion. $2.65 billion. That's more than almost $700 million new dollars in the space of basically 3 years. $700 million. So you would say, wow, if I get $700 million, you know what? If I could rechannel $400 million of that or toward debt reduction or something, I could be better off. But that wasn't what we did. So while our revenue went up by that amount, the expenditure went from $1.7 billion, about the same thing, to $2.6 billion, almost the same thing as the revenue. So we used up almost the same amount, not as much, but almost the same amount in new spending as we got in new revenue. Well, you're not going to make grounds that way. Very little has been done about appreciably right-sizing the public service. And you say, oh my God, he's talking about firing people. Not at all. Not at all. Because you can manage things out such that retirements and the like put you in a net situation where your salary burden is less. Not because you fired anybody, but because you let natural attrition work itself out. But we haven't done any of that. We still have a great number of government programs, I believe, that are unnecessary or that can be toned down. We have done none of that. we still have a great deal of wastage, which we've done very little focused about. And we have done nothing about that. So we have not done anything about a whole lot of things that might improve our circumstances. And that might be, we might be called upon in an IMF program to do. We haven't done any of that. So having done none of that, we still have room to do that. I don't know that we absolutely now have to go on an IMF program. An IMF program would certainly be more dramatic in the way of helping you reorder your circumstances right away or more quickly. But do we have to do it because we are in such a dire way, et cetera, as Dukaran seems to articulate? Maybe she knows something I don't know. Maybe she's saying something I don't know. I don't know. I know she mentioned that, you know, we don't have data on our net foreign exchange flows. I spoke to some people who are in the know about that. I was stunned that she would say something like that because see, let me tell you something, folks. We are not everyone. We are not, like, there are some countries in the world where you can go, you can get a lot of data, like, right up front. They almost make it very easy in terms of it's sitting there somewhere organized that way because some analyst went ahead and did it in the first place and got it to you. We are not. Doesn't mean the information doesn't exist. The data does exist. We have something called supply use tables. We have the Central Bank Quarterly Statistical Digest that captures our foreign exchange inflows and outflows, et cetera. Whether you to capture that by sector, you have to do more analysis yourself, right? Because you haven't done that analysis, because you haven't accessed all of the data to be able to get at that, doesn't mean the information does not exist. But she says, we don't know. Of course you don't know. Who did you ask? Where did you go? See, when the Government and Public Policy Institute was doing a study for the Ministry of Finance, in order for us to get at our study, we had to bring together knowledgeable personnel from the Central Bank, Ministry of Tourism, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, the Ministry of Finance, and all of them, so that we could get and build the model we required. That was work to be done. Nobody had ready-made information for us to spoon feed us anything. We had to build that information out. That's why you have economic analysts. That's what economic analysis is about. That's what financial analysis is about. You have to do and build some things because you have to get the raw data sometimes, make the connections, and then be able to say, here's what the information tells me. So I wasn't quite sure. Maybe if she wants, I'm happy to help connect her with the people who may be able to get her that information she requires. I'm not entirely sure exactly what it is, but I was a little surprised about the comment about not knowing net foreign flows from tourism. Of course, I can guarantee you there's no place I could send you to right now where you could just grab that right offhand, but it is certainly information we can have. Says, I'm going to listen to this from the beginning. I'm just tuning in. Understood. No problem. So I am not, can the Bahamas benefit from an IMF program? Yes, can. Should the Bahamas go on an IMF program? That comes because people believe what they believe and think the way they think. In the global community, there are serious implications to going on an IMF program, right? That one has to take into consideration. Can you overcome that information? Of course you can. Jamaica did, Barbados did, and so many others did. But there are implications to doing so. So can we benefit from an IMF program? Yes, we can. Do we have to go on an IMF program now? I do not now have any information that tells me that we have to. But again, she didn't say you have to. She's suggesting you should do so. And am I seeing anything that says we should do so? I'm not. I'm not seeing anything that says we should do so. Now, maybe, again, she has some information we don't have. Maybe the government ain't telling us some things or so forth and so forth. But you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Langios. We'll be back after the news break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Again, I hope you're well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We've been talking about economist Mala Dukaran's suggestion that the Bahamas go on an IMF program. And again, I am not suggesting we couldn't benefit from one, but I don't see that the Bahamas should walk down that road today. I don't, but maybe she has some information I don't have. This text says, hi, Z, would it be out of order for her to have a serious sit-down discussion with Minister of Finance and other stakeholders, Central Bank, Clearing Bank Association, et cetera, to see how feasible, advisable it is for the Bahamas to consider going on an IMF program? Well, first of all, she had actually a sit-down interview with the Minister of Economic Affairs, Michael Alkitis. They had quite an extensive discussion. And secondly, I can almost guarantee you that the bank and the government would not share her enthusiasm about that at all. Okay, I don't know what a sit down would do, but I could almost guarantee you that is not the case. Thirdly, think about this. Every year the IMF does consultations with the Bahamas every single year. And they report on their consultations every year. You can go online right now and get the report. Did they call for the Bahamas to go on an IMF program? Did they hint at it? Did they suggest it? I mean, why wouldn't they? Wouldn't that be professional malpractice if the IMF did not say, you know, we think the circumstances that you're facing are such that you should go on a program? They're not. Right? I don't know that there are many professionals who would, in fact, suggest it, given that the Bahamas has not done things it could do to significantly improve its fiscal situation. Right? We have not. So I'm sure she could sit down with them, but whether that would be useful, I don't think it would be useful, because I think the information and the perspectives that they would have is already known. So this text says, so Shivago, what is her agenda? I don't know that she's on an agenda. You know, she's an economist. She has a right to speak. This may be her perspective, you know, and again, I'm not suggesting it's not an unenlightened perspective, because You know, could the Bahamas benefit from some debt restructuring? Of course, it can. Almost anybody with high debt can. But do we need to? See, I don't think she has to have an agenda. I just think it's a perspective. It's Texas, you should have been a teacher, no joke. You break it down. Thank you. I try. Thank you very much. This Texas, exactly. What are her assumptions on which she is basing her prediction? I have the greatest respect for her. However, I don't think that we are there yet. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't question her professionalism and expertise. I have cause to have been at odds with her thinking on matters in respect to the Bahamas now a couple of times. As you remember, she predicted that we would default on our loan servicing windows, that lump sum was due, and you know, and she said it would happen in the pandemic, during the course of the pandemic. Ms. Tech says, what is strange to me is that two junior ministers have been charged with moving millions of dollars for their own benefit. Whether innocent or guilty, how did we get to a point of charges? These were not people who were independently wealthy, and for 5 years they had to file financial declarations. Isn't someone reviewing member assets annually for abnormalities? Well, remember now, disclosures are self-reportings. And you only have to provide documentary proof in respect of your bank accounts and your insurances. And all those documentary proofs are of balances, okay? You don't give statements, you just give the balance. So the bank will write a note and says the balance as at December 31st, 2002 is X amount, right? Someday times when I disclose, my balance has been like in the negative. I've been in overdraft, right? So you can't get mad with me because you think I got money. I had overdraft. So the other things are self-reporting. So how much asset do you have? That's self-reporting. You don't have to provide documentary proof of that. You don't have to provide appraisals of your land values and all that kind of stuff. You just do reportings, right? You have to get the insurance statement on your insurances. So you have those that you have to provide proof of, but you don't have to provide proof of anything else. So it is possible for you to submit a declaration, have it reviewed, and it not reflect anything about any income you got that you didn't disclose. Let me give you an example of something. Okay. All right, okay. Oh, why y'all do this? Why did y'all do this? Anyway, from 2000, apparently from whenever the Minnesota administration started doing it, members of parliament have been having deposited to their personal accounts $25,000 per quarter, which means $100,000 a year. Since that went to their personal account, that has to be disclosed as income. Has to be disclosed as income. So the question is, when the declarations were made over the last years from the Minnesota administration did that, that means all of the time the Minnesota administration did it, and now all of the time that the Davis administration did it, did the declarations of the members of parliament reflect that $100,000 deposit? Because it's income, right? Nobody has a reporting on how it was spent, what are the projects, et cetera. So if they didn't report it, that wasn't disclosed, that's a breach. But you wouldn't have known that, maybe, saving and except I told it to you just now. This text says, Well, if the IMF hasn't recommended it, tell her thanks. This text says there's not a single industry in the Bahamas that applying. Oh, okay. This, I don't know. This is an AI discussion. I'm talking about the IMF situation right now. Yeah. So, I think speaking about the whole matter soberly, you know, I do suggest that the Bahamas' fiscal situation is concerning. What is more concerning about it is our voluntary actions to improve it, because we are having good revenue. We're having good revenue growth. We're having good tourism numbers flow in. And so that bodes well for continuing revenue. But, you know, we are not doing things that can curtail spending in a way that improves the fiscal situation substantially, as I think it began. And then the other thing that I thought was a kind of a conflation that Mala Dukaran does is she said, well, you know, Jamaica went on an IMF program and did well for Jamaica's economy. And, you know, the government's financial situation is one thing. The economy is another thing. Okay? Because it isn't the government's financial situation that improves the economy, even though a bad financial situation by the government could hurt the economy. It can, it could, but think about it. Here's your government doing all this spending. Where's that spending going? It's going in your economy. So what does it get registered at? It gets registered as growth. Where does it hurt? It hurts when that expenditure exceeds revenue, creating a deficit that then have to be financed in taxes. Because now the taxes shrink the economy. But, you know, for many years, we haven't been taxing the economy. It was only the introduction of VAT recently that did that. Okay? So there is no automatic improvement in the government's financial situation that improves the country's economic situation, and there's no automatic circumstance that changes that improves the country's economy that improves the country's government's financial situation. Why? Because if the economy improves and the government therefore can earn more revenue because of a growing economy, the government could turn around and take that new revenue, as it did with VAT, and use it to spend. So you end up back with the deficit situation that you were trying to do something about in the first place. Because let me give you an example. In 2015, 2016, when the government introduced VAT, the deficit of the country was $310 million. $310 million. What you think after the VAT, what you think the deficit was the year after that? The deficit was $660 million. It was almost double. It was double. $660 million. The following year was $415 million. It wasn't until the Minnis administration came in that you started getting a reduction in the deficit. And then the pandemic, Dorian hit, and then the pandemic hit, and boom, Daley wrote the note. After that, the thing go sideways in big, big ways, right? So we improved our revenue earnings, but they didn't help our deficit situation. Why? Because that's how we do it. We earn the new money. We just, you know, there's something in economics called the wealth effect. And the wealth effect says the more money you make, the more money you spend. Why? Because you feel wealthier with more money. And that's what our governments have done. Our governments have basically translated new monies into new spending, and that therefore has meant continuous significant deficit spending, and therefore we have not made the gains that we have been wanting to make. Say that the more we make, the more we spend. That's called the wealth effect, just like customers whose loans are refinanced. Exactly right. That's what happens. You get that freedom. And if you look at when the bloating really happens, the bloating almost always happens the year before or the election year. Right? When was the election year under the Christie administration? Wasn't it 2016, 2017? Yeah. What was the deficit? $660 million. What was the deficit before that year? $310 million. We can't even talk deficit spending under the Menace administration because, you know, the pandemic was like, the money was just blowing, right? this text says, say if you're a trustee of assets which you hold for beneficiaries, can you legally disclose on your required disclosure per the act that you own these assets and place them in your column of personal assets? Yes, you can. Yes, you must. It's income. First of all, trustees of what assets? The government gave that money and said what? What instructions were given to anybody? Because, you know, trusteeship, you know, isn't just a term of art, right? You get the money run through your personal account. What does that mean? How do I know none of that was spent on you personally? Right? The idea, even donations that we receive from, even donations, if that passes through, you know, there's an argument, you should disclose that. So you can argue if you want, if y'all are comfortable, if y'all are okay with $100,000 passing through the personal account of a member of parliament that is supposed to be used for carrying out works in their constituency. If you are comfortable with that passing through there and not having to be disclosed, you could argue you don't need to be disclosed because we already know you're getting it to begin with. Okay, fine. I'm fine with that. It will not be an issue for me. Not at all. You know, it's not at all. I'm only telling you, they used to tell us if it passes through your account, supposed to be disclosed. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, good afternoon, Shivago Lang.
Hey, how you doing?
Man, everything blessed. Welcome back.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, you in Freeport?
Yes, uh-huh, today, yeah.
Okay, so when you in Freeport, the setup, like, don't have no producer? Because then I was holding, like, for 15, 20 minutes, guests saying, hello, I could hear the whole show. No producer, but the guests going straight to the show.
No, it's the same producer. The same.
A guest ringing and going straight to the show, and I get it. I hear you talking. I told him like for 15 minutes. Guest saying hello.
The producer must have let you through. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Because sometimes it does just go through like that with no producer.
Okay.
Z Live. Man, I get confused though. I know it's before the courts and everything like that, but didn't Dr. Minnis, the former prime minister, and he say she was under investigation, and the former commissioner of police, Paul Rule, say she was under, and then he say she was clear, right? Say they ain't find see nothing right out the way, right? And then now the government changed with a different commissioner, and then now they find 17 counts, is be able to give us 17 counts? I can feel on that.
Yeah, my recollection was similar to yours in that I know that they had indicated some investigation was taking place, and then, I think there was some indication of nothing. But then, you know.
Yeah, Dr. Minnis come out and say, oh, it's clear, anything like that. Yeah, okay. I think she did resign, but what I believe he was doing was covering up. He didn't know about this, but it's too close to the election. So he couldn't let this come out like that. So then that's why he believes he's pushing that underneath the mat.
I can't make that suggestion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then I believe, but see, what I'm saying now, though, with the government changing every 5 years, the government has changed 5 times. We got a lot of that coming up in the future. And then, because the fairness them to say, I only there for 5 years, so let me grab what I could get now, because I know I'm getting kicked out in 5 years' time. So that's all going to end up happening. A lot of that going to end up coming up in time to come.
I hear you, brother. Okay, take care.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah. I can't condone nor support any suggestion that anybody covered up anything with respect to any matter previously. We have no evidence of that whatsoever. Okay. This text says also, it is a travesty for MPs to permit public funds given to MPs for improving the community to be commingled with their personal assets. No wonder being in public offices are treated as perpetual lifelong peps. Yeah, I mean, I told someone, like, honestly, I ain't lying to y'all, right? If the government had offered that suggestion to me as a member of parliament, I'd tell them no way and planet Earth, no way. No, I don't want to. Let me tell you something, right? And this ain't even because Chicago is so pure. None of that nonsense. This is true. You're a human being, right? You got financial issues. You got financial things you have to do. You got $125,000 sitting in your account. Your child's school fees are due, and that money ain't really there. Yours ain't really. Like, maybe you got $1,000 towards your child's $5,000 money, and you got $25,000 sitting on your account. Your child might get thrown out of school, and you ain't gonna use that money. Why would I want to help myself? I wouldn't even want somebody to do an investigation and then say, listen, can you give an accounting for the way you use this money? I mean, I would be able to do so, but why would I want to do that out of a personal account? Because what if the Auditor General then says, you know what? You know, we need all your bank statements. Why want you in my personal business like that? It ain't because I'm getting no money from nowhere, but I just don't want you to see how I'm spending my money. It's my personal business, right? I wouldn't want that. I'm just trying to be real, right? Like, as a human being, I try to work with my mind and I try to work with myself. And I know myself and I know my mind. And so I know that if push come, you know, like if I get in a situation where my kids' school fees are due and I don't have all the money, you know, my automatic thought is, well, let me go borrow it from a friend of mine and so forth. And so I could do that. I could work that out, right? But that money's sitting right there on the account. I ain't do no project yet. And I don't have the report. Why would I do that to myself? That is not healthy. That is not a good thing. So let me tell you, so the person who asked me about the money being trusteeship. Okay, let's say you are right that it's trustee assets and therefore not personally owned by you. But what happens when you use some of that trustee asset for your personal use? What then? Is that not a crime? Why would I want to do that? Boy, I was so happy the government could cut a check to vendors for that couple of dollars they was giving us when we had the consistency allowance opportunity. I was so glad they could cut a check to somebody. So if anybody ever asks me what the deal is, I tell them, see, go right there to that vendor right there. That's the thing they do. That's the project they did right there. And so for see them young people right there, they're the ones who work on the road program. They're the ones who the checks will cut to. Go to them right there. I didn't want to have much more explanation than that. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take another break. We'll be back after this break.
Whatever weather, cold or warm, then you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Get your Carifta tickets. The 58 Carifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at Carifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets at Carifta50.com or call 605-4051.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-304-3. This text, a trustee misapplies assets that belongs to the beneficiaries. It is a breach of trust in law, actionable by tracing where their assets went and requiring the trustee MP to replace and restore the funds. Or due to the slackness, giving out this money to MPs with no accountability was such an informal corrupt arrangement to increase MPs' salaries. I hardly believe that that is what the intent was. I don't believe that that's what it was, but I certainly can say that in the way it may have been handled, it could certainly come across that way. I think it was highly ill-advised to do it that way. And that does not mean that MPs have not applied the funds to projects in their constituencies. I don't suggest that at all. I just think that they have brought themselves into a fair amount of scrutiny and possible allegations, because at this point now, I'm not aware. I don't know whether, in fact, any reports have been submitted by members of parliament in this regard. And again, they didn't do anything wrong, the members of parliament, because this is what the Minister of Finance allowed in terms of procedure. The parliament approved this payment, this allowance for them, you know, the parliament did. But the process was determined by the Minister of Finance and two administrations. So clearly, you can't argue that it was a corrupt intent by one administration to give salaries to somebody or to do anything nefarious, because both administrations have carried on the practice. Okay, two political parties in administration have carried on the practice, right? So clearly there is a comfort with the practice. I called up Ingram and I said to him, I said, man, you had people them under such strict manners. And you know, now people can do this. He breaks up laughing. Anyways, we'll see how this whole thing unfolds. I don't expect that the Bahamas will enter an IMF program in the medium term. I don't expect that means over the next 3 years. I certainly don't expect that. It's not a possible chance that that is going to happen. Very unlikely, unless something really destabilizing takes place and the government finds itself in a whammy of a situation. I just do not see that taking place. But we'll keep observing and see how it goes. So Royal Caribbean has gotten the go-ahead to carry out its project on Paradise Island. This would be the project that this would be a project to take place on portions of land that had been at least considered for a project by Bahamian entrepreneur Toby Smith. And I say considered because I and having spoken to him myself, he indicated that he had a draft agreement that was never signed. So clearly, if the government had a draft agreement with him about this property, it was clear that the government had the property under consideration for him. I argued this one time, he and I spoke on the air. We argued about the fact that his agreement wasn't consummated and therefore did not represent a conclusion of a lease. He went to court recently and the court ruled that he had no interest in the land because he had no agreement that was in fact consummated, right? So the court ruled against him in that regard. So he didn't have a crown lease. So now the government seems to have signed its lease with Royal Caribbean to proceed with their $100 million project on Paradise Island. And the government seems comfortable to the extent that it says there's going to be some equity given to the government in lieu of its crown land. And there are some other things that are supposed to happen. They're also considering something for Mr. Smith and so forth. Joe Darvill, who is one of the leaders in the human rights organization in Grand Bahama, said essentially that there's going to be nothing for Bahamians and so forth and so forth. So it's become the foreigner over the Bahamian and so forth. So somebody's texting me something which was getting to a point that I was making, right? Is that I do not understand why, when it counts, our communication about matters are so I'm talking about the government's communication on matters is so haphazard. Okay, so the government decides to give the opposition an opposition date, does a press release. Right? Does a press release. You have a $100 million project that you are doing on which you know that there's some politics around it in terms of the way some Bahamians feel about how it might be treated. I want to make an announcement about the deal being signed. I'm going to make an announcement to make sure that it is clear what the facts are about the deal, right? First of all, I want to make an announcement of what I've done. And if I have a heads of agreement, it is a public document. It is being done in the public interest. I want to give you the document. I want you to have it on that day. Here it is. This is what I signed. You can't hide it. This is what I signed, right? So I can know the facts of what is has been negotiated. I want you to know what I believe to be the benefits to be had from this approval that was given. I lay that out for you because otherwise, why am I doing anything in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas if not to benefit you, the people of the Bahamas? So I want to do that. I want to lay that out for you crystal clear, what I believe to be the benefits. You could disagree with me. But this is what I believe. I may even, and I might indicate to you what are some of the challenges that we foresee in the proposal, but we're working through them and so forth and so forth, right? And I want to be able to say with clarity, listen, you know this land that we've given to Royal Caribbean to do its project is not the land that Mr. Smith had been negotiated. Okay, that I would want to do. And that could be clear. But that doesn't end the politics. That is not the same land. That does not end the politics. How about ending the politics this way? How about we either conclude and negotiate an agreement with Mr. Smith, if that is what is appropriate in the public interest, and then conclude the one with RCI? How about we settle both of them? And if we don't settle both, how about we say why? Why have we not settled with him? Why have we not negotiated and concluded an agreement with him? And there could be good and legitimate reasons. But you leave the politics open when you do it this way, right? Because if he had a proposal in advance and he was given consideration in advance, both were being given consideration under the minister administration, both. We know that. We all know that. But we now have an announcement concluding the RCI deal. Why? Why that one versus the other one? Was it because it was bigger? Was it because it was better? Was it because it was clearer? What was it? It's a public policy conundrum. It's a public policy conundrum that two individuals, one a corporate entity, one a Bahamian entity, maybe a corporate entity and the individual, but two of them have an application for something on Crown land before the government. I didn't say the Davis administration, before the government. And one of them gets, please call in. You might be able to make a clarification. One of them gets an approval, one does not. I'm not concerned that the foreigner got an approval. I believe in foreign investment. And I believe that if you make good and sensible decisions about it, it helps the country. I believe in that. But you have two projects, right? Both, and I can't see where I'm wrong in this regard, because I read myself, unless the reporting was wrong, where the minister, the deputy prime minister and the minister of tourism responsible for investment said they are still considering Mr. Smith's project. That's what he said, unless I read something wrong. I'm asking one simple question. Why was one seemingly concluded and the other not? What was it? Just tell us. I'm saying there could be really legitimate reasons for that, but I don't know it. So what do you have? You have people who get to comment and look at it and go, what is this about? Maybe they get it wrong about the land, but am I wrong about the approval, the conclusion of the matter? Maybe you don't want to give them the agreement because you don't think it's a good project for the country. Fine. Is his project more complicated? Really? Is it? I don't know. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Relang, your host. We'll be back after this final break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Beulah Gad, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with a loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Get your Charifta tickets. The 58th Charifta Games is coming. April 7th to April 10th. Tickets are on sale now. Online at Charifta50.com or at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium, Western Grand Entrance. For more details, email tickets@Charifta50.com or call 605-4051.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. So in these final moments, we're talking about the RCI deal, which, you know, is contingent on environmental approvals, according to the Deputy Prime Minister. But which the Prime Minister, I am learning, indicated would be almost immediate groundbreaking on. Well, how does that happen? How does that work? You have to have environmental impact assessment or study And then you expect immediate groundbreaking. So maybe the environmental impact study was already done or is being done or is it not to do, you know, how does that work? You know, then on the other hand, the deputy prime minister says, well, you know, we're still concerned considering Mr. Smith's project. But then the prime minister says he invited him to resubmit the proposal. Well, why do I have to resubmit something that you're still considering? Right? I mean, again, this is what I'm saying. This is all a question of communication. And as I have said before, I think the government has to be careful because I think what it's doing, it's allowing its good to be evil spoken of because it will not exercise the level of message discipline that could avoid some of this. So a project like RCI should not be an off-the-cuff set of talks in an spontaneous interview, for instance. I think something like that you want to communicate, you know, formally, either by way of a press conference, press statement, or by way of house communication. And that way you can anticipate questions that might arise as a consequence of the approval and then speak to those in your communication. And that will then short circuit some of the things that could be raised. Additionally, what it does is it allows you and all of your people to be on the same page and to speak with the same voice so that your policy congruence, policy consistency, because now you don't have, on the one hand, an environmental impact assessment pending, but on the other hand, you expect immediate groundbreaking because what you're saying essentially, well, the environmental thing is only kind of like that's only fluff. Don't worry about that because this ground can break for this thing. You know, it undermines the process because if the environmental impact study comes back and says, this is not a good idea, but you just said you expect groundbreaking soon, right? But with formal communication about the matters, you can say, listen, we expect an environmental impact statement or study to be done. We expect it to be done within X period of time. We don't anticipate that there might be any problems, but we don't know. And if there are no issues arising, we expect to break ground at X time. And that helps you. That helps you to consolidate trust and confidence and all these kinds of things in the project. And then you could deal with Toby's matter at the same time and iron all of those out. And then you get, again, what happens when you have that kind of discipline is you have the unifying principle that comes through that discipline. And that's all I'm saying. And see, again, don't get mad with me because this ain't no FNM PLP thing for me. I want my government to succeed. Right? And so I comment on all kinds of things, personal, private, public, and I want us to succeed, right? And so all I'm saying is let's tidy that and clean that stuff up so that we can really put on the kind of face that makes us look better, right? That's my hope. Boy, I leave my glasses and you all know my eyes can't read much. It says, since Ms. Oswell from Anadis is questioning the RCI project, the government is now even making that project seem a little tenuous, read the EIA, et cetera, suck my teeth. He says such lies to see duplicity. I don't regard these things as that. I can't say that. I don't know that's what that day is. I just think that there's some consistency that could be necessary. This text says, I disagree with you on Toby project, Smith project. He submitted his original proposal 11 years ago. A lot of things has changed. He needs to write a new business plan and show his current financial ability. But my friend, with the greatest respect to you, with the greatest respect to you, he submitted a project to the government of the Bahamas. The government of the Bahamas, he didn't submit a project to the PLP or to the FNM. He submitted it to the government of the Bahamas. The government of the Bahamas has not concluded his proposal. Instead of asking him, I will tell you what the Ingram administration would have done. Instead of asking him to submit a new proposal, you can ask him to update this and update that or the next thing, right? If you think that you need the information. But this is not about his financial projections. That's nonsense. That's not about, this is not, these proposals are not about financial projections per se. They are about the feasibility and viability of the project proposal as a matter of public interest, right? Because what forecast is the government going to make of anybody? Listen to me, man. I don't have to theorize about this, right? You think that the government sat down and simply looked at the forecast that Atlantis had for itself and said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to prove it on the basis of that forecast. Right? Come on, please, please, please. Please. Now you see, now you're trying to nickel and dime a Bahamian the way we don't nickel and dime foreigners. It doesn't happen that way. All right. So I'm not going to argue that with you, etc. The government, if it needs updated information from him, they can ask for it. But to submit a new proposal, that ain't fair. What you're saying? Oh, you need to submit a new proposal to this administration, eh? I see. Well, I don't even understand why you are saying to me he needs to submit a new proposal and you don't agree with me. It wasn't me who said his proposal is under consideration. It wasn't me who said that. It was the Deputy Prime Minister of our country. That's the one who said that. So maybe you need to go and ask him why he's still considering an 11-year-old project. Maybe he can help you with that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's been good to be with you today. Y'all stay safe, stay dry, because it looks like some rain coming. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Siobhan Golang, your host. Have a great, great evening.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.